Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Cool. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Man, that was a good morning. That's good. It's nice when you get that good feedback, man. That's, I appreciate that. My name is Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Pillar. It's awesome. Like, I've really been enjoying this weather. Like, see, most people still have sandals on, so that's really encouraging to hear. Because back at home in Minnesota, like, I called my dad this past week, it's like 20 below. I'm like, that is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I appreciate Grant how he, like, in all the songs and stuff like that, he still has, like, some winter stuff going on there, too. So it has to kind of, like, remind us, like, you know, it's still cold out there in some places. And a lot of the songs, like, that's a lot of times he's been putting that on there. So I appreciate that, kind of bring us all together with that. The Christmas, the Advent, the arrival, the anticipation that we've been walking through here. Before I get into the text, let's pray, and then we will jump right into it here. Dear Father, Lord, we come before you today, eager, Lord, to dig into your word. Lord, your word is as sweet as honey to our lips. Lord, your word nourishes us, nourishes our souls. Lord, we pray, Lord, that this morning we will delight in it. That'll just get down into like our deepest part of our souls where it impacts us more than we will ever know. Because we love you. We want to pursue you and glorify you. In your holy, precious name, amen. So this Advent series that we are going through, we are examining the arrival of Jesus through the eyes of several different characters. So last week, we looked at Isaiah, right? And we saw that this birth announcement of Jesus, of this child, came at a really difficult time in history for the Israelites. Right, but they were still to eagerly anticipate this arrival of this coming king, of this Messiah, who is going to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And now today, we are going to be examining the scriptures and looking at the life of Joseph. In the next couple weeks, we'll look at Mary, and then the shepherds and the wise men, and then Simeon and Anna as well. But today, we're going to look at Joseph specifically. This ordinary guy is put in a really difficult position, if you remember from the reading there. So my main idea, we're just jumping right in this morning, is simple obedience through life-changing events. Simple obedience through life-changing events. Now, we see this kind of, we're going to be walking through a little bit, and it's shocking news. This is how I kind of labeled the first one. Then it's awe by divine intervention. Like, if you think of, like, shock and awe from, like, a military standpoint, it's just, like, a lot of force just coming right at you all at one time. This is, like, a lot going on all at one time in these few verses here. Then we're going to look at what child is this. Like, I think of, like, this Advent song, we sing a lot of different Christmas songs and carols. Like, what child is this? Like, always comes to mind Emmanuel there. Then we're going to look specifically a little bit more intentionally at the character of Joseph, out of just character of a humble man. So let's look at this shocking news. Right, like if we come into like any type of situation, a lot of times just in life, we always like try to plan for the future, right? Like for military, like that's like 90% of what we do is just plan, and then it's like execute a little bit. And then we evaluate, and then we plan again, and then it's like execute, and then it's like, right, rinse, repeat. I think a lot of times we do that in our own lives too. Like, where are we going to go to next? Like, let's plan all of this. Let's get all excited about this. That's for marriages as well. Like at this point here for Joseph, like he was planning, right, the marriage of his wife, planning his future, planning what he's going to do next, how his family's going to be raised. Like typically, like in the American type culture, this is probably a little bit different than what he was probably doing. His just overall dreams for the future. But as a young man anticipating marriage, he had plans for it. But in the midst of his dreaming for his future life here, Joseph's faith was tested. All right, because as we've seen from last week, the birth of Jesus is unique, unlike any other birth in human history. It's the high point here of Israel's history. He is like unlike any other prophet, any other king, any other priest who came before from the pages of Scripture. Now, specifically the first part of Matthew, if you just look like really quickly, there kind of goes over this genealogy of Jesus. Because all the other births there before were natural, but this birth is different. This birth is conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Mary here was pregnant. This shocking news here that Magnet was pregnant before marriage. Now next week we're going to look at it a little bit more intentionally about Mary, but more closely, so I don't want to go into it too much. But Mary being pregnant before marriage is a big deal. And the scripture says that she was betrothed to Joseph. Now that is a unique word. That's typically a word that we don't use in like engagement, marriage, or just that type of like dating type of scenario type thing. We always think of like engagement. So we think of engagement, that's just a promise from one person to the next. Right? This mutual promise that they're gonna be married in the future at a specific time, date, right? If they kind of plan all that, right? Planning. They're planning it all out. Right? It's non-binding promise. There's no legal consequences if it's broken, right? If it's broken, like I'm sure maybe some of you guys have heard that some people got broken their engagements. It's not all that uncommon. But there's like done. There's no like legal binding behind it. They don't need to do any additional paperwork or whatever else like that may be. But betrothed here is a promise to marry. From the time of betrothal, the couple was regarded as a lawful, legal, binding contract. The couple was seen as a husband and wife in the eyes of the law, right? And then it allowed this time of preparation to prepare for their marriage. Because marriage then is the final legal union between the husband and wife. This lifelong promise, this covenant relationship between a man and a woman is established, reflecting his plan for love and support. Now, we just think about like, all right, defined those a little bit, betrothed, right? So there's some key points in there for the betrothed. But if we think about just Joseph here, we don't know how Joseph found out about this. Like was it before Elizabeth went to go see her relatives or after? Did Joseph notice that Mary was starting getting like a little bit bigger and it's like, you're putting on a little weight, babe. That's something you typically just would not ask, right? Like that's you just straight away. Like, did Joseph do that? The scriptures don't say, because that would be really awkward if he did. But you can just imagine this difficult conversation that he had with Mary. This whole awkward situation is described as Mary just being found with a child. That's how that is described here. Because remember, at this point, Joseph did not have the angel appear to him like Mary has. Because even though Joseph was Mary and Mary were betrothed to one another, the custom typically during this day is like after betrothal, they took this period of time then to prepare. So they didn't spend a lot of time together with one another. So you can imagine just the quietness in the room when Mary shared this with Joseph, or however Joseph found out. It had to be just a complete shock of what was going to happen. speechless. Right? And then she said what would have gone to tell him that she was not only pregnant, but the baby is conceived here by the Holy Spirit. That is absolutely crazy. Like, how could you imagine Joseph here, like, what are you talking about? This is absolutely astounding, slash, like, unbelievable, slash, like, what are we going to do? Right? Because it's like, well, it's really unbelievable, so then who really is the Father Mary? Like, let's just get this out there then. Who is it? The Holy Spirit, really? But he was simply living his life as faithfully as he could. Working as a carpenter, working to build a life for his future family, this continually preparing, building a home. Because he trusted Mary to be faithful to him and pledged to his life. Because the betrothal, like this pledging, this promise, in the law, like they were seen as a couple. And so the outside looking into this, it looked like Mary betrayed Joseph. And I think of just Joseph here. All right, like going on a bear hunt. Like somebody reminded me of this book this past week. It's like going on a bear hunt. Like you can't go over it. You can't go under it. You just got to go through it. So I see Joseph here just like, let's face this problem head on. Because they, like us, like we don't like the chaos. It's not easy sitting in chaos or just uncertainty. We don't like having our world turned upside down, and we don't like feeling the powerless. So instead, we look for ways to restore and get their lives back to the normal. Let's get back to normal, to where it should be, how it should be, and how we can continue on progressing and planning, because they don't like to sin in it. So the problem that here, that attempted solutions may or may not be what God intended for them. The scriptures don't say specifically like how Joseph went to God. Or even if he did, you think of like his David previously, a lot of times, I'm like, what did the father ask? Or go to the father and pray specifically. It does not say that here in scriptures. But he wanted to be obedient to what the scriptures had said. So ultimately here, Joseph is left with a choice. So yes, he could either marry Mary, or he could divorce her publicly, shame her by bringing her before the religious authorities, and then this would result in forfeiting the payment that he made to her father, and possibly even death by death to Mary by stoning. That's right, that's pretty harsh. The other one here, the other option was divorce her privately. But even this option would bring a lot of questions from family and friends. Like, what happened? Like, why did you do this? Well, how did Mary get pregnant? Like, all these questions that they would possibly ask. But this option, though, would allow him to obey his conscience and do what was best for Mary. Because Matthew here tells us that Joseph was a righteous, just man. And this is even before the angel came to him. We can see Joseph's righteousness, his obedience, and the fact that he both committed to following the law by divorcing an unfaithful spouse, but doing so in the most selfless, loving, caring way towards Mary. Like, that is an obedient man. Because even during that shock and awe, that the shocking news that he is, this young man had his life turned upside down. Joseph demonstrated remarkable composure and grace. He made a choice that would be best for her in the shocking news. We can often run from hard things. We can hide from them, avoid them, not confront them. But a lot of times during those hard moments in life, that's when God is truly working through us, shaping us more than we could ever know. Like, we don't know a lot of times the outcome of those decisions. But let's can still be obedient in that shocking news, in those difficult situations, because we can obey our Heavenly Father. But here we have this divine intervention, this awe by divine inspiration. Intervention. Now thinking, but thanks for the scriptures, we know the reason Joseph did not go through with the divorce. God here intervened. He sent a heavenly messenger to visit Joseph, just as the angel had visited Mary previously. Let's just pull up verse 20 one more time here. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Did you guys see it? He referred to him as a son of David. So this just shows that God did not just pick some random guy up the street to be this guardian son. He picked a faithful son of David. The only other person in the New Testament called son of David is Jesus. So this title here comes with authority. We can continue to see just the son of David. We saw it in Isaiah. We saw it in Micah previously. We're going to see it next week in Mary. The son of David, this genealogy is important. Because it reminded Joseph of his royal lineage and prepared him for the task at hand. By using this title, Matthew here is telling his readers that Jesus is the son of David. That should put us in awe. Like God's plan here is coming out. It's coming through to fruition. So now when the angel came to Joseph, assured him that the baby in Mary's womb here was not the result of sin. Right, because if it was adultery from before, that would have been sin. But this is not the result of sin, but conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit. She was chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah, to be put in awe and wonder by this divine intervention. Hearing this, we don't know specifically how Joseph feels for this. Right, like, did he go back then and look through the scriptures and like read what we talked about last week? That he was born by a virgin, right? That's what it says here in this text. Is that what he did? Did he look through Isaiah as well or Micah to see him born in Bethlehem? Like, oh, is this where we're going to be going next? That he's going to be this wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Like, did he go back and look at that? Was Joseph overwhelmed that the fullness of the Messiah prophecy had come in his lifetime? This anticipation, they've been waiting like 700 years. Think about that. That is a long time to be waiting. Because we don't like to sit and wait that long. We always want something now. But waiting 700 years for this to come out. The wonder and awe that he must have had for this. The worship that took place from this. And Joseph tells us that he believed her. And that an angel also appeared to him. Through his dream, Joseph was reminded that this was no ordinary birth. And this role that he would not be that of an ordinary father. The angel here telling Joseph to name the baby to be born Jesus, the angel was reminding Joseph of his stewardship as a father to name the son, which is another big deal here. To name the son, Joseph was assigned a leadership role in naming the future son of God. Because he would be carrying him, caring for him. Loving him, supporting him, teaching him. This child is going to be different. It's going to be unlike any other child. It's going to be a child who can save you from your sins. Not to conquer Rome or whatever oppression that they were feeling at that time, whatever the current situation or circumstance, but from sin. Put us in awe. And wander through this divine intervention. Because when confusion fills our lives in this turmoil, God reminds us who we are. It reminds us who Jesus is. Often it doesn't usually come from understanding every detail, but from trusting the one who speaks it. As we sit here and think about, like, who are we? Oftentimes we forget when we're in those deep, darkest moments. Are you a child of God? You are kept, you are assured, you are loved, you are supported, you are cared for. But we forget. He reminds us. Let's be a family that reminds one another of that. Because we are reminded of who Jesus is as well. Because what child is this? It is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Jesus had to be born a virgin. Not just because of Isaiah's prophecy, but so he would be born free of the curse of men. As the new Adam, as Romans 5 talks about, this son would fulfill what the first Adam could not do. He'd be even greater than the first Adam because he would also defeat sin and death that so corrupts the human race. Matthew sets this path as this righteous king who comes to save people. So what child is this? This is Christ the King. Emmanuel, the God with us. Right, he is the creator, the sustainer, the restorer. Whatever sin corrupted, he is going to make right. And Jesus, God does not do it from a distance. He steps into our world, our humanity. Because he is not a God above us. He is not a God against us. He is not a God far away from us, but he is a God with us. Isn't that comforting? God with us. And it all begins here. This joy of Mary, this all these questions that Joseph may be having, it starts here. Jesus is coming through this humble beginnings because there's really nothing special about Mary. There's nothing special about Joseph. It's all about Jesus. This is how the whole redemption plan that they've been waiting for, this God from the beginning in Genesis to now. Because we need this rescue plan. We all need this rescue plan because we are all in these broken sinners. Examine our hearts and just see just the brokenness that we are. The selfishness, the pride that we often kind of hold on to. It brings shame and guilt that just consumes our lives. We are those broken sinners. And because of that, God the Father sent the Son. This redemption plan was fulfilled through Jesus Christ because he took that penalty that we deserved on the cross. He went to the cross to pay the debt that we owe. He was buried and was resurrected on the third day, proving he is a God who conquered sin and death. And this gift is eternal. It's not an I owe you. Thank you, God, for doing this, but then I still owe you. That's not it. This debt is paid in full by his redemption on the cross. It is finished. Joseph was reminded of that, comforted of the fact that God is with us. And here throughout this passage, we see that obedience of Joseph. We talked briefly about it at the beginning of the sermon, but throughout all of this, we witness just how faithful Joseph was. So let's look at the character of this humble man. So first, just a quick recap. The angel appeared to Joseph by calling him the son of David. Joseph had a reason then to be proud of this heritage, to be proud of this lineage, this line of David, because this young man just had his world turned upside down. He was planning this marriage to this beautiful woman of Mary. World turned upside down. And he was scared and worried about the future, but the angel then reminded them of who he is, that he is a part of God's family, and that God is going to be restoring it. You are David's son. So Joseph knew two things here. Joseph knew who he was, and he was committed to Scripture. I think this is the way the Bible appeals to us today, knowing who you are as a Christian and knowing what the Bible says in relation to that then too. Because we are no different than the unsaved man or unsaved person when we knowingly go against God. And he said in this word, and when we do this, we are often forgetting who we are. We must remember that we are children of God, and that not only gives us a security in our identity then, but also in coming with a different set of expectations of how we react to God's word. Obedience is almost expected. Right? Obviously, we're not going to do anything perfect. We are broken sinners, and those tendencies are going to continue to be fleshed out in this lifetime. I think you can examine your own heart, and it's humbling, and it's hard. But we confess it, and we still depend on him. Joseph's response to what he was told by the angels is what we would expect from a faithful son of David committed to God's word. To humbly submit and follow the Lord. Let's pull up our verse 24 one more time. So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. seems like the scripture says that he immediately obeyed, even though he knew what this would mean for him. Let's take a second to think, all right, Joseph, if you're deciding to do this, the overall culture says you're supposed to do it a different way. But he is going to be doing something different. That had to not be easy for Joseph. Because marrying Mary, he would be scrutinized by everybody. So many questions by other people, like, why are you going to marry this woman? Didn't she commit adultery against you? But just seeing how Joseph reacted to Mary's news that she had conceived by the Holy Spirit, like the family and friends had to just start asking a lot of questions. Because unlike Joseph, they didn't have the angel appear to them as well. So they probably would be publicly shamed, socially excluded, because it would look like they had sex before marriage and became pregnant. But by obeying God, following his instructions, Joseph was giving up everything to follow the Lord, giving up everything to do what the Lord commanded, even if it hurt his reputation in the community. For us today, I think it's easy for us just to read over these events knowing the end state, not giving another thought about it. But as we remember Christ's birth, we should pause and consider how significant that decision was for Joseph. He'd be an outcast. He'd be pushed out. He'd be scrutinized. He'd be bearing the shame for sins that he did not commit. This shame only foreshadows the shame of the baby that would one day bear the shame for Joseph and Mary and all who placed their trust in this baby. Jesus literally became sin for his people, so much that God the Father, who cannot abide, and turned his face away from his own son. Turned away from his face, from his own son. That's how much he cares for us, by sending that son to us. Joseph was a good husband. He was a good father. Because even if you read a few more chapters down, we could see that Herod was searching for this baby. Was searching for Joseph, for Jesus, I'm sorry. But Joseph again obeyed God and took Jesus and Mary away into Egypt, continually obeying what God has commanded him, even though people were hunting him down, even though he was going to get scrutinized and put to shame. He was obedient. He was humble. Because he consistently put his family above his own comfort, his own joy. And even though Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, he was Jesus' earthly father. In every sense of the word, Joseph raised Jesus as his own son. And I think that just exhibits the true spirit of adoption. This vivid picture of God's adoption for us is for us, his children in Christ. We can summarize that Joseph here patiently fathered Jesus, teaching him the old, like imagine teaching Jesus the Old Testament law. I think that just is fascinating. Reading through Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all, like, that would just be, that's astonishing. But also, when Jesus was on the cross, Joseph wasn't there. The line here of Joseph is really short. There's not a lot about Joseph here in the scriptures. Because it's not about him. It's about Jesus. The legacy left behind by Joseph, he was an ordinary man willing to be used by an extraordinary God. He displayed righteousness, the obedience character in very difficult situation. Joseph obeyed God's command immediately. He was willing to suffer his reputation, lose his comfort for the sake of God and others. And others, he was a spiritual leader of his family. Joseph remembered who he was, being the son of David. He was an obedient servant of God. So Joseph's story here reminds us that simple obedience often flows by life-changing events. Events that in that shock and awe, that turmoil, where are we going to turn? Are we going to be in awe of the Lord that, yes, he still is with us, that he still cares for us, that he still loves us and supports us, and he is with us? Because a lot of times our world is going to get turned upside down. Things are going to happen, right? We are in this broken world. Things happen all the time, and it can happen like that. Whatever we may be planning for whatever future that we could have, it can change in an instant. Will you respond in fear, or will you respond in faith? Joseph's obedience here was not grounded in his own strength. It came because God intervened. God stepped in. And it stepped into Joseph's confusion, the questions. God gave him clarity. And he does it through his word. We can go to his word and see it, what we are called to do. Because God, he is truly with us. The obedience is never done alone. A lot of times we feel like we're in this island, this bubble, like we're just doing this on our own. That all the weight is on us. That's not it. He is with us. Joseph obeyed because he believed the promise that God was with him through every step of the way. I'm sure many of you guys can think of hard situations that you have gone through. You can think of just the hurt and pain, whatever it may be. Whether a church then family member came next to you and said, God is with you. Like, how encouraging would that be? Just sitting kneecap to kneecap and just saying, God is, like, looking you in the eyes, like, God is with you in this. Wouldn't that be so comforting? So caring? Like, knowing that, like, a friend, a brother, a sister in Christ is just loving you so much because of that. God is with you. Because Joseph here, he might not have gotten all that from the community around him, but he got it from an angel. God intervened. So now for us today, we can think of how obedience begins. It begins with remembering who we are. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it starts with obeying him. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is this morning, please come talk to me. Because Jesus Christ is the Savior for sins. The brokenness that we have in this world, he saved you from your brokenness. And it's all through him. And then the second one there, obedience requires trusting God more than our understanding. Trusting God. Because Joseph here didn't get all the understanding, all the answers to his questions. Like, looking at this passage, man, I came up with a whole bunch of questions. Like, what if this? What if this? How did this happen? He didn't get all the answers, but he did get God's presence. And that was enough. It must be enough for us too, where God is with us. Obedience here is costly, but it's always worth it. Because following Christ may cost reputation, the comfort that we often so easily try to seek, the approval of man, like the people pleasers. Like, I don't want to be looked down upon. I don't want to feel that pressure. Like, I just want to care for other people. I just want them to like me. But sometimes it costs that. Because that cost of obedience is always smaller than the joy of walking with God and being a part of what he is doing. His kingdom work is way better than the temporary joy that we feel. Then the obedience leaves an impact. Yeah, your obedience is probably not going to make headlines, like put you on the news, or makes like, oh my goodness, look at him. Or look at her. She's doing so many great, amazing, cool things. Just so following the Lord. There are missionaries and stuff like that. There are fantastic books about. But typically, that's very few and far between. But it will still have a massive impact. Impact in this church. Impact in your family. Even impact in your work center. Your neighbors. Like, it has an impact. And it just doesn't affect that temporary. It can affect generations as well. Now, here in this moment today, Maybe you're facing that same type of trouble, like the uncertainty, the unexpected, something shocking is happening to you right now. Something confusing, heavy, frightening, whatever it may be. Right? You may be feeling this weight of decisions you've never had to plan before. Today, God invites you to do what Joseph did. Trust him. Listen to him. Obey him. Even when it's costly, even when it's quiet, even when no one else understands. Because that same God that came to Joseph is the God who speaks to us today. The same God who is with us today. Emmanuel, God with us. And we can put that simple faith that we have, that simple obedience in this one true God. During those life-changing events, guys, we can trust and obey him. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for sending your son to die for us. Lord, thank you for this story of Joseph and just seeing the man that he was. Even in those hard moments, he still trusted and obeyed you. Whatever circumstance, Lord, that he was in, the shock that he was, that probably happened when found out that he was that Mary was pregnant with him, with Jesus. But he still trusted you. Lord, thank you for going to him, comforting him, reminding of him of who he is, that he is the son of David. Lord, help us remind us as well who we are as your sons and your daughters. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. Thank you.